Well, you know, God let me do such and such a thing. And I remember back when I started this ministry. Oh, let me worship at the altar of the ministry that I started. Oh, I'm so great. Oh, look at this ministry. Let's capture this in a moment. See, God says, look. Come on, I'm over here now. God always keeps something fresh before you. But you've got to have some drive about yourself. You got to see the end in sight. You got to see the goal. You see, what is drive? Drive is the ability to push past the obstacles. Drive is the ability to push past slothfulness. Drive is the ability to push past all those things that hinder you from what God has for you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Looking for a Reason to Fight. Join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 2.
So run that you may obtain. In Corinthians, they had what was known as the Isthmus Games. These were only second to the Olympics, but they were a highly treasured game in the city of Corinth. And Paul says that when these athletes come from all over Athens and Greece and they compete, only one receives a prize. What drives them? What motivates them? The fact that there is a prize. He said, that don't you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. My brothers and sisters, if you got something to fight for, you're going to motivate yourself. You're going to drive yourself. Why? Because there's a goal. There's an objective. Many people may get discouraged in the midst of getting their college education. Oh, but when you look down the road and you see that sheepskin on your wall, there's some drive that keeps you going. Paul says if there's some purpose in your life, if there's something for you to work for, something for you to drive towards, that you should be self-motivated. That I realize that God helps us do whatever we need to do. I was listening to a preacher last week. He was talking about, you know, people who say, I'm self-made. You know, I'm a self-made man. Well, you know, really, there's no self-made people, if you think about it. First of all, the first breath that you ever took into this world, you came in hollering and screaming, asking somebody to clean you up and feed you. So how in the world are you self-made? It took you 2 years before you got weaned. It took you another 3 or 4 years before you could take care of yourself, as far as not having somebody to clean you up. And then it took another 11 years before you could actually begin, hopefully, to support yourself. So how in the world are you self-made? Somebody is behind you. And so even as we look at this thing called self-drive, I don't want to misconstrue this, because God is all behind this. But God, once he gives you that vision, then you got to have some gumption on your own. Yeah, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we have Jesus. But you know what? You got to find some drive on your own. You got to find some giddy up inside of you. Self-drive. Look, notice what he says here. He says that that one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. This is a powerful concept here. This word obtain comes from the Greek word katalambano. And you know what it means? Kata means down, and lambano means to take. Paul said, run that you may take down the prize. Notice, people in the earthly race, only one can win. But in God's race, everybody can win. See, God has a special goal. God has a special focus. God has a special vision for your life. And it's right out there. And all you got to do is take it down. All you got to do is go take it down. But you can't take it down if you don't have any drive. If you're lazy and shiftless and slowful, then you can't take it down. That goal, that prize is always going to be out there. But when I got some drive, oh, baby, when I can see that this thing is within reach, when I can begin to taste it, then I'm going to run and take down what God has for me. Look back over your life. Has there been goals that God put up for you that are still there because you didn't take them down? Man, I look and I know there's blown opportunities that I've missed in the past. And I can look back and see that there was certain prizes that God had for me. But because I got distracted or I didn't have the motivation, I didn't have the drive inside of me, I never ran and took them down. But God has something for you. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I'm trying to win the race. You don't have to win the race. The race already been won. 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. The victory is already won. Let me give you some shocking news this morning. The only thing you got to do is stay in the race. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to try to win it. You don't have to try to outrun anybody. And see, that's the thing. See, we get this concept of the world's idea of the prize, that only one can win the Super Bowl, only one can win the World Series, only one can win the NBA championship, only one can win the U.S. Open, only one can win the match. We got that concept, but in God, in God's game, everybody can win. All you got to do is find out what it is that God has for you. And stand. And you know what? Look what he says here. And I'm, don't let me get ahead of myself. But he says here, verse 25. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, when these athletes in these Isthmian games, when they won. Now, you know, there was a bunch of accolades that went along with that, a bunch of prestige. But you know all they got? They got a laurel wreath that they put around their head that somebody cut up and put together in a fancy way. And when they came to the seat for their reward, all the judge did was put this laurel wreath on their head. What does Paul say? Paul said that wreath is going to decay and wither away. That wreath is going to die. He said, all these guys trained for 10 months under rigorous discipline and under a coach. And for 10 months, they eat strict. They exercise and they watch everything for 10 months. And when they, if they win, they get a wreath that's going to perish. They get a corruptible wreath. But Paul says, oh, we do it for something that's incorruptible. We do it for, you know, we do it for two things. Number one, for an eternal reward. But you know, secondly, the second reason why we do it because we can obtain the goal that God has for this life. Man, you know, I hear people talk all the time, man. You know, man, pastoring is the worst thing in the world. You know, pastoring, you know, man, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with that. Man, I don't want the headaches of pastoring. But you know what? I know this is what God has for me. This is my goal. This is what I got. This is what God had me to run and take down. And so I got to find some drive from somewhere to keep on keeping on. So I look at the goal, and you got to have a goal in your life. As we talked about last week, what's your goal? Even maybe you've already got your degree. Maybe you've already got that job. You know what? Don't see that's the beautiful thing about God's kingdom. God always keeps something fresh before you. That if you ever begin to monumentalize your past accomplishments, then you're in trouble. Well, you know, God let me do such and such a thing. And I remember back when I started this ministry. Oh, let me worship at the altar of the ministry that I started. Oh, I'm so great. Oh, look at this ministry. Let's capture this in a moment. See, God says, look. Come on, I'm over here now. God always keeps something fresh before you. But you've got to have some drive about yourself. You got to see the end in sight. You got to see the goal. You see, what is drive? Drive is the ability to push past the obstacles. Drive is the ability to push past slothfulness. Drive is the ability to push past all those things that hinder you from what God has for you. There's going to be many discouragements along the way, but you got to find a way to push past it. Oh, I love the poem that I've heard, and I've read it here before, but let me just share it with you again. Somebody said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he wouldn't be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a bit of a grin on his face. If he worried he'd hit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. Oh, somebody scoffed, you'll never do that. At least no one has never done it. But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the next thing we knew, he begun it. With a lift of his chin and a pretty grin, without any doubt or quit it, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that could not be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. Amen to that. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle right in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing as you tackle the thing that could not be done, and you'll do it. See, what's that all about right there? That's all about drive. That's all about motivation. That's all about pushing ahead. Where's your drive at? Somebody say, well, I failed. You know what failure means? Failure means I didn't succeed. But drive says, I got the opportunity to try again. Failure says, I can't do it. Drive says, I must try again. Failure says, I'm stuck on third base. Drive says, I got to find a way to get the home plate. Failure says, I fell down. Drive says, I can't stay down. Failure says, I lost. Drive says, I've got a new opportunity to win. Failure says, it's over. Drive says, hey, God got a better way. Are you a failure or are you driven? God is looking for some folk who are driven. Babe Ruth struck out more than anybody else in the history of baseball. But before Hank Aaron, he hit the most home runs. Hank Aaron struck out more than 99% of everybody who will play Major League Baseball. But he is the greatest home run hitter of all times. Thomas Edison's teacher called him a dunce and said he will never succeed in life. He failed over 14,000 times to perfect the incandescent light. And we all know what he did. The rest is history. Albert Einstein flunked courses in math, but he had one of the greatest IQs known to man. Henry Ford was broke at the age 40, but he kept persevering. He kept pressing on. You see, when you find something worth fighting for, you got to find some drive. You got to find something that, and I hate to keep saying this, but you know, you got to find, you got to find a reason to get up. You got to find a reason to get moving. And you know, it got to come from within you. Man, young folk are missing opportunities right and left because they don't have drive, because they don't have something inside of them to work hard. You know what? I think I would, now once again, I know God had a plan and a purpose for my life. But you know what? If I could just see some things, you know, how dangerous would we be if we knew then what we know now? You know what? I would have been in the NFL if I knew then what I know now. I'd have worked a little bit harder. I would have ran a little bit longer. When the rest of the fellas was out partying and having a good time, I would have cut it a little bit shorter. But you know, I had lost my focus, had lost my drive. You know, I saw good time, I saw good life. And you know what? I think that hindered me when I got to the place where I could have taken down the goal. Oh, I know that, and I this was my testimony. I know God, it wasn't God's will for me to play professional football, but he would have found another way to take it from me than what he did. You know, he took it, because I went out there and I was against Tony Dorsett, and Tony Dorsett, you know, ran out and I couldn't keep up, and they said, you linebacker, man, you gotta be faster than that. But if I'd have worked a little bit harder, that wouldn't have been an excuse. God would have had to do something else. So this is my point, that when you got some drive in your life, when you got some motivation in your life, you find it from within to do what you got to do to take down that goal. Oh, let me say this right now. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm saying this because I'm headed in this direction. Let me talk to some of the elderly, some of God's golden saints in here. You better get some fight up in you. You know, let me say this now. Let me say this. I'm going to say this from Bethany Baptist Church. You don't let go until God tells you to let go. There's going to come a time in your life when you're laying on that bed and you're struggling, and God is just going to say to you, it's time to let go. And you're going to know that it's time to let go. But brothers and sisters, my golden saints, you better keep on fighting. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Find some drive. Find some motivation. If it's no more than just getting up and walking around a little bit, if it's no more than just getting some energy to be able to do some things, you know, God says, look, you're not ready to go until I'm ready for you to go. So, you know, this thing is just not for young folks. It's for those who are on the other side of 52. I didn't say 52, I said 50. Find some drive. Well, let me hit the second point, then I'm gonna finish up here. But you gotta find some drive. You gotta find a reason to keep on keeping on. The second thing that having this reason to fight for involves is it involves self-discipline. Look what he says in verse 25. He says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible." Paul says that you got to have some self-discipline in your life. He says here that you got to strive. This word strive, once again, is from the Greek word agonizomai, which we get the word agony from. And so sometimes life may get a little difficult. Sometimes life may get a little hard. It may get a little challenging. Life may get a little painful sometimes. But you've got to discipline yourself to stay in the race. You've got to be able to do what it takes to stay on the course. You may remember the movie, Remember the Titans, and the coach had pushed those football players to the brink of their abilities, and someone accused the coach of trying to ruin them and trying to break their spirits. But, you know, instead of making them stronger, they said, "You're trying to break their spirits. You're pushing them too hard." But if you remember the movie, they won the championship. Some people accuse the coach of trying to push them too hard. You know what? We got a lot more tolerance for pain than we actually think. I see some people suffering sometimes, whatever the case might be, whether it's from illness or from some other calamity. I have, because I'm a pastor and I move in these circles, I see people suffering. And it's not a pleasant thing to see people suffer. But you know what? I guarantee you that some of those people, if you would have asked them before they got to the point, if you think that you could ever deal with anything like that, I guarantee you they would, in their mind, couldn't even imagine dealing with something like that. But yet and still, they find themselves in the midst of it. They find themselves in the midst of suffering. They find themselves in the midst of pain. And you know what? They find a way to deal with it. They find a way to hang in there. And God is letting us know that in life, sometimes to reach the goals that he has set out before us, that it's going to be suffering, it's going to be agonizing, but you got to find a way to hang in there. You can't quit. Somebody said, did Michael Jordan ever quit? No. Did Emmitt Smith ever quit? No. Did Bobo Jackson ever quit? Well, we never heard of him. That's because he quit. See, if you quit, nobody ever hears of you. And the only way that you're going to stay in this thing and keep on going is to have some discipline in your life. Let me close with this right here. Verse 25, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." This word temperate in the Greek means self-control. Wow. Wow. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, is self-control. If you can't control yourself, how are you going to reach the goal that God has for you? You got to begin to discipline yourself. You got to begin to pull up the reins of your mind together. You can't run a race with a raincoat on. You can't run a race with a pair of combat shoes on. You got to take off those boots. You got to take off that raincoat. You got to discipline yourself to get in the race. And then you're able to run. You know, these athletes that Paul talked about here, they trained before the event. They trained for 10 months. And I was noticing it here. I said, oh, man, when I was doing my study, as a matter of fact, I got it right in my notes right here. Let me read this. The disciplined runner, all right, now this is going to help some of y'all, all right? It's going to help some of you. The disciplined runner, while training for the prize, prevents himself or herself from the pursuit of or indulgence, watch out now, in sexual pleasures. Oh, my. Now, I'm not talking to married folks there. I'm talking to unmarried folks. But that was one of the things that this athlete did. Not only did they eat strict, they had to be under a trainer. There was a trainer that worked with them every day. And they had to exercise, they had to eat right, and once again, they had to abstain from other things in order to be in this race. That's discipline. That's discipline. And you know, if the goal that you have set before you, you don't have discipline, you're never going to reach it. You're never going to reach it. You know, I share this, and I don't share this bragging, but I share this because... And you've heard this before. You know, that's one thing about a preacher. You should know the preacher's life, all right, because he share all the same stories over and over again. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for it, saints, because you should know the preacher. You should be able to give your pastor's testimony, all right? That's how much you heard it. You should know your pastor's testimony better than you know yours, all right? But my testimony, once again, I flunked out of college. Had a 0.07 or something the first semester. Because all I wanted to do when I went to college was party and have a good time and play football. That's all I wanted to do. Then God got a hold of my heart and I got saved. And graduated from college with 3.2. Got a master's degree. Graduated 3.4. When I got my doctorate, 4.0. Now this is what I'm trying to say. That along the way, there were many distractions, but I had to discipline myself. Along the way, there were things that wanted to draw me off the goal, but you know what? When I was in college, man, I saw that bachelor's degree, and I said, nothing is going to stop me from getting this. Even my wife, the day I graduated, she had typed my master's thesis, typed it, pregnant with my third child, or our third child. She sat there in labor. In labor, she sat there. And she said, I'm going to watch this brother. I done did all this. I'm going to watch this brother walk across that stage up in here. I saw that sheepskin. I saw it. And my point is this, is that you'll never get to the things that God would have you to get to if you don't discipline yourself. Find something to fight for and discipline yourself. And fight.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 3, from our series Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 2, you can contact us at encouragedinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. www.gallaysbible.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.